Hey, and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. This is a very special holiday episode. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Clint Ruckus.
And I'm Dan Fernandez.
And so what are we doing for today's show, Dan?
It's the top 10 stories of 2010. So instead of picks of the week, we're going to have our favorite stories of the year while we go through. So it's what do we think, and this was a hard way to judge because there's so many things going on with developers. The idea was to do top 10 stories and how we think they're most impactful for developers or how they're going to change the future. I think that's kind of the qualification. So, and this is, you know, Microsoft development. So
right, of course.
And let's get started.
All right.
So number 9, because we're in a zero index based system now,
yes,
is the NetDuino and the .NET Micro Framework. They open sourced it. So now you can do, these are our breathalyzers that we had at PDC. So you can program basically embedded devices now with .NET.
So let's talk about this. You mentioned the breathalyzer, and I think this is one of my favorite projects. But what was it?
So this was a tweeting breathalyzer. So you blew into it after you had some a few tasty beverages, and then it would go
That's
out.
That's not Diet Coke, by the way. Yeah.
It would go out and actually, you know, tweet how, you know, on a scale 1 to 10, how blitzed you were.
Okay, excellent.
So let me get this straight. So in the last couple of years, Coding for Fun has produced a drink tender, a breathalyzer, and a Dude, Where's My Car sample application.
Yep.
All right. Glad, okay. Glad we're enabling you.
And a disco dance floor.
That's right.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then also coming next year, they'll have the Gadgeteer, which is like the paint-by-numbers for electronics, and you can code with C# and make it so dirt simple to do embedded programming now with .NET.
And this is, what is this, $35?
$35
so good
bucks,
stocking so stuffer
net,
for a developer
Duino,
you may
know.
And
we also have the Tiny CLR's Fez boards, which are also very competitively priced as well.
So let me get this straight. So these are, you actually compile and then push your assemblies down to the device, right? You don't have to be tethered like you do with some of the other devices.
You treat it very much like you're developing for the phone, where you have to have it plugged in.
Sure.
And then once then,
and then
it's
afterwards,
all,
it's all,
yeah, it's
on, the,
all
on
the
board.
Nice. And then you can go, all it just needs is power.
Cool. So that's
full
number,
Visual Studio support,
yep.
Everything.
Number 9. So what's number 8?
Number 8.
Channel 9 Live. So a lot of stuff. One, our site actually launched the new design. Crazy. Kudos to Duncan St. Picard.
It's like Duke Nukem forever there.
Yeah, a little bit. And Channel 9 Live, too, which is, you know, one of the things we started off since PDC 09, and we've kept going, you know, with Mix, and, you know, we've had a lot of rock stars on, you know, Mark Rusinovich, you know, Hours with Scott Goo, Handsome, and, of course, hosting a bunch of memorable
Bob
ones.
Moo.
Bob Muglia, we had Ray Ozzy, you know, there's just a number of cool people that have been on Channel 9 Live, and that's always been a big thing, and it's such a big team effort to pull off those events, and it actually worked. So, and even on, you know, in at PDC, we had a bunch as well.
Yeah.
I think that's actually where you were testing, showing off the breathalyzer.
Yeah, it was at PDC
during Channel 9 Live. So, a lot of cool events, and I think it kind of shows the future of what we can do with live events. And I think it's kind of exciting.
All right, so Channel 9 Live number 8. So, what's number 7?
Number 7 is IIS Express, Web Matrix, and the Razor markup syntax.
So it's been a big year for web developers. IIS Express, we were just talking about this before the break. If you currently use the built-in Cassini or the ASP.NET development web server, by the way, Diet Coke out of a straw is terrible. I don't recommend it. So IIS Express basically gives you the full experience of IIS, even if you're running on Windows 7, even if you're running as a non-admin, so that you can test your applications the same way that they'll deploy against IIS eventually. So IIS Express doesn't have a production license, but it does allow you to give that full, what's this going to look like in what's this going to look like in production experience. And then Web Matrix?
Yeah, so Web Matrix does a couple things. Right now it's in beta. You can download the latest one, but first thing it does is allow you to build ASP.NET web page projects, which use the Razor syntax. And the idea is to be almost, I'd say the closest example is PHP, just really lightweight. What is the simplest way that we can do a specific task, whether it's getting data, whether it's displaying data, whether building helpers to do common tasks, you know, display tweets and so forth. All that stuff is built into WebMatrix. Second thing it does is allows you to build templates. So let's say, for example, I want to start a blog. I can easily go there and say file new, choose from a template. I can choose a WordPress, blogengine.net, all the big engines. Rather than me having to download all the dependencies, the same thing that the web platform installer did, automatically does that stuff for you. And then the third thing, and this is really for any app, is using the search engine optimization tool. So the SEO toolkit that we published is included in WebMatrix. What it allows you to do is literally scan through and say, hey, here's your website, here are the things that you can do to optimize it for search engines.
That's awesome, and so important these days.
Yep.
So, all right, so that's number 7.
And it also has a very easy way to publish.
Yeah,
yeah.
All publishing, including FTP, and even a way to find different providers. So,
yep.
So people that we've done. Oh, Razor Syntax, we should just probably quickly talk about
Razor
that.
Razor Syntax is a kind of, how would you even describe Razor?
It's a
view engine, but.
Yeah, so Razor and WebPages use the same kind of syntax, but the real goal there is to be a sort of that lightweight engine think of it almost like, I like to think of it almost as macros on top of HTML, where, hey, I'm going to spit this stuff out and, you know, loop through this table, and here's how I want to do it. And I'd say classic ASP is another good example for people that I've done ASP programming, but it's a lightweight, simple syntax, and a lot of people like it. WebMatrix, I think, is more for beginners. Razor's really, how do we bring the RAD experience for MVC developers, which tend to be more experienced.
Got it. All right, number 6 are we on?
Yeah.
So this is kind of a
the open source
the open
at Microsoft
source stuff, right? So NuGet. So this is a really nice way of getting all the prerequisites that you need for your particular project. So that's gaining a lot of popularity, and it's actually brand new. So it's cool to see that come in at the tail end of the year here. Lots of improvements for CodePlex. So if you are, what is the name of the platform that they use?
Runtime Intelligence.
Intelligence. So you can actually instrument your application to find out how people use your application. You know, we have some of these capabilities built into Microsoft products where you can figure out, okay, how many times did someone click on the start menu, go to programs, and then Visual Studio versus just start, run, dev, inf. Well, if you want to gain that type of analytical information about your application, CodePlex now provides the platform to do that, and I think you have some experience with that as well, right?
Yeah, so we do have the Skype voice changer uses that, so we can track roughly how many people do certain things.
And that's a .fuscator feature that CodePlex did a partnership with, so it's available to you put your project on CodePlex. There are some limitations, but you put your project on CodePlex and you get all those runtime intelligence features.
Another awesome new feature that they added in CodePlex is LiveWriter support.
Oh, right.
Wiki.
Yep.
No more wiki pages. Thank you.
And, of course, now they're broadening their ALM support. So if you want to use Mercurial for your projects, you can do that now. If you want to use Subversion clients, you can use those, connect up to TFS, and it just thinks it's a Subversion host, even though it's all back-ended by a Team Foundation server.
But it's one of those things, you know, CodePlex keeps improving and improving. We always talk about, like, the new projects, like NuGet or something like that. Here's a classic example of a site that's been around for a while, added cool features.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also did jQuery contributions this year. So we did data templating.
Yeah.
And that's all I can remember.
I think we also did globalization or internationalization. Something around there. Scott Gu had the announcements, but I think the thing is, you know, Microsoft's contributing directly to the source code for jQuery.
Yep.
And I think the templating and globalization stuff is getting approved now, so basically means the next drop or it may already, some of them may already be in there. I'm not sure if all of them are in there. You know, it's that code.
And I would recommend if you're interested in jQuery, actually there's a great episode of This Developer's Life by Scott Hanselman and Rob Connery where they interview the guy who came up with jQuery, and I'm spacing on his name right now, but it's kind of cool.
Cool. Okay, the async platform.
Number 5.
Async for VB and C Sharp.
Yes. So this is Anders talking about it at PDC. Definitely go see his session. And I think this is one of those, while it is only in a CTP now, you can download it. It's one of those that's really going to change the way people do programming. So if you take a close look at this slide, what you see here is, and this is directly from Lucian Wyshek, had put 101 samples on there. It's an interactive Silverlight app. You can find it directly on the MSDN async page. But you can see basically what I call the before and after, which is here's how it looked in C# or VB before, and here's how it looks like after. And on the screen here, on the right side, you see all the things. And we're calling the National Weather Service, I think, 3 times. And you basically need to do it serially. So 1, 2, 3. And it's literally, 4 lines of code in using the new await keyword versus, and we're just doing a download string task async. And then in the other one, we have all this events, the event completed, then do this, then do that.
So this is available for C# and VB now. Yes. And J# presumably is coming next year.
J# is out. J# is, yes.
You didn't get the memo? I'll
email Anders.
J#'s on the kin.
All right. So number 4.
Just really quick on this, if you do have, I said it before, if you want to use the Visual Studio 2010 beta SP1, they're not compatible. So be warned.
All right.
Connect. I think there's 2 ways to look at Connect. One is the future way, because it really shows kind of the power. And I kind of reminded of, when things come out for gaming consoles the first year, they sort of show the obvious titles. But the ways that things can evolve and the way things can change, I think you can imagine a Kinect title in 3 years from now is going to be wholly different in terms of what it can and can't do.
Just look what they're doing with the Power Glove today. I mean, it's amazing.
I still use my Dog Hunt gun, so thank you very much. But Larry's added a sight to his.
I mean, just the hacking community around the Kinect, it's amazing what they've already done. They have like the keyboard from Big, air guitars.
The flying Kinect sensor that can actually detect where it's going. So we talked about that in the quadcopter, which was my pick of the week some time ago. But you can really see, and you imagine what is the future of computing.
Yeah.
This is huge.
MIT, I believe, got it so it can recognize fingers.
Yeah, so finger tracking is awesome, if nothing else for, gestures.
And invisible camouflage. So it's really cool to see where this is headed and what this can do to the future of UI. I think this is just
huge.
Next, we have the Azure 1.3 SDK.
Yeah, so we made a lot of announcements about the Azure platform at PDC back in October, and back in November we rolled out most of those enhancements. So you can now play with the new VM role that's available. You can take advantage of virtual networks, so you can wire up your Azure web roles and worker roles and VM roles that are running in the cloud. You can wire those up to your own corporate network so that you can get full trust across those different environments. What else? You have full IIS mode in a web role.
Yeah, so I'm sure you probably talked about this already, or some of the stuff just remote desktop, and we've covered this on several episodes, but there's just a lot there in terms of even just CTPs of future things, so like the caching services that are coming on board. And really, I think one of the big things is with Azure is how quickly they're innovating and putting
every
stuff
few months,
on the...
There's either a new announcement or a revision.
There's the really small instance size. SQL Server adds a larger size, a number of features. So there's I think one of the big things is just the velocity of how quickly things are becoming on Azure or SQL Azure and some of those features.
That's right. And what are we on, number 2?
Yes.
Oh, Kinect is my pick of the week.
Oh.
Yeah, right. My story of the week. Yeah.
So number 2.
Fail.
So
Fail.
Number 2 for me is this is my pick of the year, is Windows Phone 7.
Heard of it.
I have also. So it's all about just trying the new platform. It has XNA in it. It has Silverlight. You can build really rich, quick apps, rich feature complete apps very, very quickly. So Coding for Fun right now, I believe, has 6 or 7 apps on Marketplace. We can, we're still continuing pumping them out. It's just amazing what some of the stuff people are doing with the phone as well.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, I think this is one of the big stories of the year, from... Going from March on our development announcement, there was just so much excitement leading up to the actual product announce. And obviously, we got to shoot T-shirts. That was fun. That was fun. So definitely a big story for developers and a big opportunity for developers as well.
And the number 0 story? Is that what we're up to? Nope, number one story, which is not the number zero story.
Number one story.
Internet Explorer 9 and HTML5.
Yeah, so yes. I think, you know, you saw Steve Ballmer's comments at PDC, and some people thought he was leaning too far towards the HTML side and got a little scared on the Silverlight. It's not Silverlight or HTML5, it's Silverlight and HTML5. But one is really just the power that IE9 has shown for building HTML5 applications.
Yes.
So the fact that you can be a DirectX developer and just know HTML markup is huge because of the graphics GPU accelerated HTML canvas and so forth.
And then
and text and everything.
They just released Pirates versus Daisies.
Yes.
Which is a tower defense HTML5 game. Super fun. Like I remember in the office when it was released on Friday, just hear so many little the sound effects going, it got slightly annoying.
Mm. Oh, you mean from everyone around?
Yes.
Oh, good. No one was working.
It's a good tagline. IE9, now more annoying. So, all right. let's not
less quit. MG had enough disclosure.
Yeah. And the number zero story of the year, Visual Studio 2010 and the .NET Framework 4. This is my pick of the year. I mean, there's just so much good stuff in here. I mean, you could just spend hours learning about the fit and finish features, the new WPF look and feel, the start page, you know, just little things. Like
.NET Framework 4.0, just simple things on system.io where you're like, oh my God, I love it.
Or add new reference, just the dialogue that is just quick, it's searchable. Definitely go out and get the productivity power tools now. That adds a lot of really
packs.
Nice... the feature packs, the new model that's coming out there. And really, Visual Studio is being opened up to a whole new audience. You know, I've spent most of the last year talking to software testers now that can use the new Microsoft Test Manager, part of the Visual Studio family of products, so that they can run their test cases and not only run those test cases and report the data back to TFS, but give actionable data back to the developers that says, hey, here's a video recording of me running the test. Here's an IntelliTrace file of me running the test. And so it's really just been awesome watching the uptake around this. I think this is, at least anecdotally, I think I've seen this be the fastest adopted release of Visual Studio ever, from what I've seen. So it's very cool.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons we picked this as our number one story is because if you're a developer, chances are you're using either .NET Framework 4 or Visual Studio 2010. So
right.
Even if you're using web matrix projects, you have a dependency on .NET Framework 4. You know, all these big companies are running on .NET Framework 4, including obviously Microsoft, Dell are our big partners. And it's just the thing you eat, sleep, and breathe inside of.
Right.
So even if you're doing Windows Phone development, even if you're, you know, hacking on Kinect or Netduino, there's always a Visual Studio 2010 tie-in.
And with the beta of SP1 coming out last week, there's really, you know, for those people that wait for SP1, it's just right around the corner. You can go pick it up and adopt it. So it's very cool. It's been a good year.
It has been. Awesome.
So we'll see you next year.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.